I just want to finish the sheet that we were working on last week. The theme, of course, of the shiur last week was that which is said in the name of the king of Ashur, Ad Bowie, until I come and I take you, El Edetz Ka'artzechem, I will take you to a land like your land, from which the Gemara says a very frightening Gemara, where the Gemara says that Sanhedrin, who was a terrible, terrible Rasha, sent off 80% of Klal Yisrael into exile, destroyed nearly all of Eretz Yisrael, and despite that he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he is awarded great titles. And the Gemara itself says, but Klal Yisrael did speak Pigenusa Shel Eretz Yisrael. There was another thing that we mentioned last week, that in this chapter reference is made to a person by the name of Shevna. Reference is also made to Shevna in chapter 22, and there Shevna is referred to as a Rasha who has no place in Eretz Yisrael. And I told you the Gemara says, there's another Gemara, Gemara in Sanhedrin, that says that Chizkiyahu and his group in Yerushalayim, the king, who wanted to hold out and not surrender the city of Yerushalayim, was in the minority. And the majority were Shevna and his group, who said, let's give the city to Sanhedrin because we won't be able to protect the city. So it was the right-wingers, Chizkiyahu, and it's the left-wingers, Shevna, and Shevna is ascendant. He is the majority. And Chizkiyahu, the Gemara says, is worried that God is going to, God is a democrat. God is democratia, and therefore he's going to follow the majority. So God tells him, and it's a pasuk earlier in Yeshayahu, Lo tomrun kesheh, don't be part of the conspiracy of Ha'am Hazeh. I use the word conspiracy, of course, with extreme caution, but that's exactly what the Rebbeinu tells Yeshayahu. Those who want to give the city over to Sanhedrin, they are a conspiracy. Don't be worried about them. The Gemara says that Shevna shot an arrow outside of the city, in which he said that Shevna and his group, we are ready to give up the city. They shot the arrow so that it was received by Sanhedrin's forces. Sanhedrin makes a meeting with Shevna, and as Shevna leaves the city, he is accompanied by all of those who are with him, and little by little they keep falling out and dropping out until Shevna is there alone, and he suffers. Why do they drop out? Because there are always people who rally behind great leaders, but when the moment of the crisis comes, they find an excuse. I have such a flu today, I couldn't come to some service if you schlepped me out with a... By the way, the Gemara says nearly the same terminology when Moshe Rabbeinu comes for the first time to Mitzrayim, and he comes to the Jewish people with Aaron, and he says, we're going to tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. So the Zakenim, the elders, gather around Moshe, and they begin. They're on their way to the palace of Pharaoh. So the Gemara says, V'hoyu nishmatin echad echad. They dropped out one by one. In other words, there are certain things that we may feel to be right, but we're not ready to do it. We can talk big, but when the moment of crisis, the crunch comes, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that Shevna wants to drop out too, but his ego can't permit him to do that. Is he going to turn around now and go back to the city and say, Chizkiyahu, you win? Our egos get in the way of our best interests very often. Anyway, this whole part of the shiur is just a fascinating aside, and it's just that Tosfos in three different places in Shas deals with it, So therefore, let's see, we'll start the...
What time took his Shevna?
Shevna is one in chapter 36.
22.
Verse 22. Yeah. Shevna HaSofer. Aren't they at the beginning of the chapter 2? Yes, verse 3. Shevna is one of the people. Shevna is one of the people who is facing Rav Shakeh. Now it would seem from this whole parsha that Shevna is a righteous man. He's part of the inner circle of Chizkiyahu. He is sent by Chizkiyahu to listen to the words of Rav Shakeh. He is one of the three who tears their garments when they hear the blaspheming of the name of God. I have those three cases lined up there on the sheet. I want to start on the left-hand side, because the order in which they appear in Shas is from left to right. Shevna Ish Yerushalayim. The Gemara talks about a fellow called Shevna Ish Yerushalayim. Shevna, the man of Yerushalayim. So we're learning the Tosis. Rabbeinu Tam, the Reish Tav means Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was one of the great Baalei HaTosafot. Rabbeinu Tam, low goddess Shevna. Rabbeinu Tam does not, low goddess does not write the name here as it appears in the Gemara. It's not Shevna. Why? The Shevna Rasha happened, because Shevna was a Rasha. And therefore, can't imagine that somebody would have given a child a name Shevna. So the Gemara could not be talking about a man called Shevna Ish Yerushalayim. So first of all, the Rabbeinu Tam's text does not have Shevna, because Shevna was a Rasha. V'lo maskinin b'shmei. The Gemara says this is a Gemara in Yuma. We'll see it right away. The lo maskin b'shmei, you don't give that kind of a name, because shame reshaim yirkav. The name of the wicked shall rot. This is part of a pasuk in Mishlei. Zecher tzadik livracha. The memory of a tzadik is a blessing. The shame reshaim, and the name of the wicked yirkav. Should rot. Kediyama v'perik Amal Hema Mamuna, as the Gemara says in a perik, a chapter called Amal Hema Mamuna, which is Masechet Yuma. Elogoras, what does the text of the Rabbeinu Tam say for the Gemara? Shachna. You know, a vet, a vase, and a chaf can be easily interchangeable. You can make a little mistake over there, because if the bottom of the chaf is just not rounded enough, it could look like a bet. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that it's in the Gemara, they're talking about Shachna Ish Yerushalayim. The Avinami Shem Adam, Shachna is also the name of a person. It's a name. Kedama Besota, Elok Shachna Chi Hillel. There was a Shachna who was the brother of Hillel. Venida Levi. The V is Rabbeinu Yaakov Meorlinus. Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosafists, the Balei Tosafot, were French. We're all French, just as Rashi. Rashi was French. Troyes was Rashi. Rabbeinu Yaakov was from Orleans. Rabbeinu Tam was from the Mishpacha of Rashi, his son-in-law. The Nida Levi, the V says, the Shapik or Shevna. He says, no, the Gemara could be talking about Shevna Ish Yerushalayim. Da'atu im echad rasha v'shmo avram lo nikru v'shem zeh acher. He says, what are you telling me? If there's going to be a person by the name of Avram, there's going to be a rasha, so you can't give the name Avram afterwards to anybody. The name of Avram is finished. Can't be. So there was a rasha Shevna. Now so what? There were good people by the name of Shevna also. He says, we find that there were two Shevnas. There was a good Shevna and there was a bad Shevna.
Tiktiv Shevna Asher Abayit. In chapter 22 of Yeshayahu, Tosis is bringing from chapter 22 of Yeshayahu, where it talks about Shevna, who's in charge of the house of the king. Uktiv Karati La'avdi El-Leliyokim. Umem Shautacha Etain Biyado. In chapter 22, it's talking about a Shevna who is going to be removed from his position of being in charge of the house of Chizkiyo, and is going to be given to Eliakim. Uktiv Batar Hachi, and Taisa says, later on it says, and that's our chapter 36, Vayobo Elav Eliakim, Hashera Apayit, Veshevna Hasofet. Now, if earlier in Yeshayahu he's talking about Shevna, who's in charge of the house and of the king, and now that position is going over to Eliakim, and now in our chapter 36 we're talking already about Eliakim, who's in charge of the house, and he is accompanied by Shevna HaSofer, this is no longer the same Shevna back there. I imagine it's only in modern times that a person who was once prime minister can become a member of Knesset. A fellow who was Sar HaMishpatim can become Sar HaVodah Baravacha. Everybody can do everything. It wasn't like that in the old days. If you are Asher al Abayit, if you are at the top of the pinnacle of power, you are in charge of the house of the king. From there to move down to Sofer, scribe of the king, was a step down. People didn't take steps down. So therefore, the Re says the Shevna in our chapter is not the Shevna of the previous chapter. So therefore, if there would have been one person by the name of Shevna who was a Raja, so then okay, so you don't use that name. But if there's more than one person who's called Shevna, and we see here in Yeshayahu himself that he is referred to by the name Shevna, then it's okay. It would seem that Shevna, who was in charge of a house, had already died. Eliakim was in his place. The Shevna Hasofer Hoya Acher Shevna, the scribe, was a different Shevna. Okay, so we have two opinions. One opinion is the Rabbeinu Tam, who says there was one Shevna, and that Shevna was a Rasha, and therefore, when the Gemara talks about Shevna Ish Yerushalayim, Shevna, the man of Yerushalayim, it cannot be Shevna, so the Rabbeinu Tam says it's Shachna, and the Re says, no, there are two Shevnas, and no problem. Just because a fellow is a Rasha doesn't mean the name becomes unacceptable forever. Of course, we said there are certain names that are always unacceptable, as Nimrod, or Nimrodi, or Omri, or Captain Ahab, you understand. We don't give our children the name Ahab. We don't give our girls the name Izebel. Understand? There are certain names that are simply unacceptable. For that matter, we don't have children by the name of Esau. No Esau. I've never met an Esau. Yeah. So then, I never hope to meet one. All right. Let's go quickly over to the... let's move in the direction of the right. The Lomaski Bishmayim. It's just that we're not going to go through it all, but I just run through it with you. The Gemara in Yuma says, Lomaski Bishmayim, you don't give a name of a Rasha. Perek Batcha, the Ketubot, in the last Perek of Ketubot, which is going to be the next Taisis. The Perek Batcha, the Ketubot, in the last Perek of Ketubot, Gabishnei Dainei Gzeros. There were two judges in Yerushalayim. One was Atmon, and the other was Hanan Ben. Now, Tosis says, Avi Shalom. Goddess Rabbeinu Tam, Avi Shalom, Rabbeinu Tam, the same Rabbeinu Tam who says over here that the Gemara in Yuma is talking about Shachna, not Shevna, is the one who says that that judge in Yerushalayim, his father's name was Avi Shalom, not Av Shalom. Because you don't give a name Av Shalom. Mishum Diyama, Rav Meir Techelek, Av Shalom ain't no Chelek Lolam Abba, because in Sanhedrin the Gemara says Av Shalom, the son of David, has no place in the world to come. And also, Va'ashtachon Shem Adam Avi Shalom. We do find somebody whose name, somebody in Tanakh whose name is Avi Shalom. As it says, Avi Bat Avi Shalom. V'chein de perikama de Shabbos garsinam Hillel v'shachna. Taisus here, and by the way, here I can give you, you can understand what it is that Tosafot wanted to accomplish. I'll explain. You're going to get a shir in Talmudic style. Rashi always explains the Gemara on the spot. Here's the Gemara, Rashi explains it. What Tosafot always do is they relate this Gemara to other places in the Talmud where a Gemara of a similar nature appears, or where a Gemara of what seems to be a contradictory nature appears. The Rashi is right here to understand this piece of Gemara right here on the spot. Tosafot wants to bring in that which you may have forgotten or may never have known, but where else in Talmud this idea is expressed. Here we have it in three different places. One in Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara is talking about Shavna or Shachna ish Yerushalayim. And the second place is in Masechet Yoma, where the Gemara says we don't give children the names of Rishayim. And the third is going to be in Masechet Ketubot, where the Mishnah talks about a judge in Yerushalayim whose father's name was Avishalom, or, well, it could have been Avshalom, but the Rabbeinu Tam says we're supposed to read it Avishalom, not Avshalom, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Avshalom does not have a share in the world to come. That's in the last chapter of Sanhedrin. The last chapter of Sanhedrin is the famous chapter, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Lo'ava, all of Israel have a share in the world to come. And there are a few individuals who don't have a share in the world to come, and one of them is Avshalom. Since Avshalom doesn't have a place in the world to come, so therefore you don't give a child a name of Avshalom. And since my father was a Talmud Chacham, so I'm sure he never gave me a name of Avshalom, as this fellow who I still have nightmares about would meet me as a little boy in the streets of Williamsburg and call me Avshalom, and I couldn't be. It couldn't be. My name was Avram Shalom, and as I said, he most probably didn't hear too clearly at the bris, and he thought that he heard Av Shalom. It was Avram Shalom. That's my name. But the fact is, until I got to these Gemaras and knew about that, there were times that I'd have nightmares that my father, and I could never confront my father and say, "Pa, did you call me Av Shalom at the bris?" I don't think I ever asked him. Most probably it was already after I knew that my father was Ayid HaTalmud Chacham, and he wouldn't give me a name Esav, he didn't give me a name Avshalom. Alright, further, so here, in other words, here we have the Rabbeinu Tam. What the Rabbeinu Tam does in Masechet Yoma, he does what he does in Shabbos, he does in Yoma. Just as in Shabbos he said that the name is Shachna and not Shevna, so too in here he says that the name is Avishalom and not Avshalom. Because Shevna Rosh Hashanah. The Yesh Mefarshim, and there are those who say the three Shevna have it. There are those who say there are two Shevnas that we already had. We know the Reed says that. It says, Leich Boel Asochen Hazeh, this is chapter 22, El Shevna Asher Al Abayit. And it says, Batrei, Malachopo, Yeshayahu says in the name of God to Shevna, "What are you doing here?" He had dug a grave for himself. He was going to be buried together with the kings or the important people of Israel. And God says, "Oh no, you don't belong amongst the good because you're a Rosh." This is all in chapter 20, in 22. Malachopo, Mashma, there it seems, Shoya Rosha. Uktiv Batrei, and then it says afterwards in our chapter, Vayit Yishmoa HaMelech Chizkiyahu Vayikra Al-Gol Adet Shevna HaSofa that has a Canaan, they were all with Kasim B'Sakim covered in sackcloth. You're going to see that in the next chapter. Alma Acher, so we see there were two Shevnas. One was a good Shevna and one was a bad Shevna. The Kivin De'echot HaYot Tzadik, since one of them was a Tzadik, Maskinim B'Shmei, you can give his name. Miru Yira the Hakol Echad, the Al Gorba Harishevna, Basra Shinikasa Basak, Tishachide, Rab Shake, B'maisa, the Sankhere, Rosh Ahava.
Here comes the third opinion. The third opinion of Tosis now is, you know, the Shevna of chapter 22 and the Shevna of chapter 36 are the same Shevna, and he was a Gosha. And here, Tosis brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin about Shevna and his peace camp.
As it says in Perek Zebora, that's where the Gemara is in Sanhedrin. Aval ein mugdam umu ucha batora. The afal gam tohoch et kore rei sofe vahoch al abayit al kochach hakol echot kidupinishim.
Third opinion in Tosis. The third opinion is same fellow. And he's the same. He is the one who's Rosh. The only thing is the order of the chapters is not in historic chronological order. The fact is that in this chapter where it seems that he is a tzaddik precedes chapter 22 where it's clear that Shevna is a Rasha. It's the same fellow. But you know what? A tzaddik can become a Rasha. It happens. By the way, the only one who can become a Rasha is a tzaddik. Rishayim don't become Rishayim. They are Rishayim. So here, his opinion is the same Shevna. But here it was, at this point, he is one of the people who is close to, and he is loyal to Chizkiyahu. And then later, most probably, as the siege of Yerushalayim becomes more intense, this is going to be a story of a few years. We're going to see that Rav Shokei and Sancheret are going to lift the siege only to return later and begin the siege of Yerushalayim again. So it may very well be possible that as the siege of Yerushalayim intensifies, then Shevna joins or creates the peace camp that wants to surrender Yerushalayim to Sancheret, and that's when he becomes a Rasha. I'm not going to go through the third Tosis, because everything you had in Tosis 1 and Tosis 2, you're going to have in Tosis 3. The only thing that I can point out, or Tosafot, you know, I can't say it again. I was brought up as a child, always learned Rashi and Tosis. I still can't learn the Tosafot. But all right, you know, that my grandchildren can. I don't even think they know what Tosis is. All right. So basically, that's really the intention of Tosafot. The intention is to bring together various statements in the Talmud in different places where we may never have known or may have lost track of them, and bring them to bear on the Gemara at hand. So Rashi is locally, and Tosis is globally. Now, with those Hebrew words, you understand exactly what I mean. All right. Next chapter, 37. Was it 3 or 37? So in chapter 36, we have the blasphemy of Rav Shakei. Rav Shakei, we explain, according to most of the person, really, Rav Shakei is a Jew who is a mummer, a Jew who has become a turncoat to his people. And I think I said, and this is something that I must contend, and I did work on it during the course of the week, and we may arrive at some kind of an understanding. How do Jews become betrayers of their people? What mindset is it? What mindset is it that creates something where the Jew, in a sense, there's always something that one hides behind. There's a philosophy. The philosophy today is the universal Jew. The moment you become a universal Jew, that sounds bigger and it sounds more expansive and it sounds more liberal than being just the Jew who is concerned about the Jew. When you have greater concerns, like your heart is ever expanding, I don't know how their hearts don't explode, but their heart's just ever expanding to embrace the whole world, and the purpose of it all really is in order to be able to reject the world from whence they came. And so therefore there's an ideology, and I'm studying now the ideology of our of the left. The ideology of the left has become a new religion. I'm only going to say just a few words ago. They're more religious than we are. They have created a religion called secular democracy. They serve and they worship democracy most probably more fervently than a Chumayid says Shema in the morning. And they have a benefit. There always has to be a benefit. My wife always asks me, when somebody acts in a certain way, what is the benefit? What's the gain? What do they have to gain? What they have to gain, of course, is that they are not bound to any of the strictures of Jewish law. I mean, there's a sense of great, overwhelming freedom. Freedom. But all sense of freedom has to be, it has to have a facade of a philosophy. It's not just stand, I'm a balaveda who wants to eat a cheeseburger on Yom Kippur, Shechalias, B'Shabbos. I have a shita, and the shita is an expansive view of the world. We're not just our little people here concerned about ourselves. We're concerned about the whole world. And in the process of being concerned about the whole world, one loses sight of the real needs of their own people. They can go off to all places in the world and lose completely contact with that which is closest to them. But this is an idea that's in the process of evolving. Let's learn a chapter. If we don't learn a chapter, you know, by Yikishmar HaMelech Chizkiyo, when King Chizkiyo heard, and now all of a sudden, chapter 37, now all of a sudden, he is HaMelech Chizkiyo, it's King Chizkiyo. Because here already we're talking about how we refer to him. When King Chizkiyo heard by Yikra, the God of, he tore his garments, by his cousin Basak, and he covered himself with sackcloth, by Yavo Beit Hashem, and he came to the house of God. He has heard the blasphemy, and the halacha is, when you hear somebody blaspheming God, or it witnesses tell you of such, and what did Rav Shakeh say? Rav Shakeh said, what are you talking about? The God of Israel is going to save Yerushalayim? The gods of Hamas and Arpad and Sfarvayim and Shomron, all the deities in the world, haven't been able to save their countries from me. So who is this? Who is this God of Israel who's going to save you? Don't believe Chizkiyahu when he tells you this city shall not be given into the hands of Sanherib. So, Vayishvach et Yochim Asher al Abayit, he sent that Yochim, who was in charge of the house, that Shevna HaSofer, the scribe Shevna ben Zignei HaKohanim, the elders of the Kohanim, this is the pasuk that was quoted by Tosis, Mitkasim Basakim, he sent them covered in sackcloth, and Yishayahu ben Amos Hanavi to Yishayahu, the son of Amos, the prophet. Vayomer Eliyahu, they said to him, Ko Amar Chizkiyahu. I know what you can ask me. Why? Listen, we know what's going on. Ko Amar Chizkiyo. So you should know, first of all, by virtue of the fact of what they're going to say immediately afterwards. They're going to say, Yom Tzoro V'Tochecha, it is a day of trouble and admonishment. There is no greatness on a day of Tzara. It's a Gemara that says it with regard to Medrash in Kohelis. Ein shilton b'yom hamavet. On the day of his death, David HaMelech was referred to as David. David. Ois malchus, there is no great, no king means anything on the day of his death. On the day of his death, death is the great equalizer. Is that it? The great equalizer. On a day of great tzara, Chizkiyo is Chizkiyo. More than that, when it's a matter of how they speak to Yeshayahu, so then they, in the presence of Yeshayahu, Chizkiyo is Chizkiyo. Vayomer Elov, they said to him, Ko Amar Chizkiyo Yom Tzora V'Tolcheicho, it's a day of trouble and it's a day of admonishment. U'no'otza. Na'otza. Give me a good English word for na'otza.
I don't know what it means. It's contumely. I don't know
what contumely. Blasphemy? No. Contumely. It basically first contumely.
Sacrilege.
No, also not. The word in a slightly different form appears in the very first chapter of Yeshayahu. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos Kolon. Okay, I'm not going to play the. In the first chapter, it says. It better be here. It is. I'm sure. Pasuk Dalet Hoy Goy Hoy Te Am Keved Avon Zera Medayim Vane Mashkusin Oslus Hashem Ni Atzu Et Kedosh Yisrael Ni Atzu could be sacrilege or blasphemy. Ni Atzu. I always just understand it in terms of. The Eben Ezra says, Niatsu, they have angered the Holy One of Israel. So he would learn that it's a day of anger.
Provoked.
Provoked. The Mitzuda says, Niatsu is shamed. They have shamed the Holy One of Israel. It's a day of shame. I was never able to overcome the relationship between Niatsu and Nazi. Whenever I come to the word, I just have this feeling that Niatsu, Na'atsa, Kedosh Yisrael. So it could be anger or shamed or blasphemed.
Here's the degrading to.
Divrei Giduf, so then that's blasphemy. Who says that?
Which? One of them is blasphemy. One of them will
definitely say you. Okay. Alright, fine. That's the Seder. Okay. So it means that there are, it has a number of meanings and they all come together. Since it is Giduf, since it is blasphemy, then it causes anger and it is shame. They're really all interrelated. Because the sons have come unto the Mashber. Now, Mashber has a meaning to us today, but it crisis. Mashber means crisis, but what it comes from is a woman who is in labor. In other words, the great crisis of a woman, she is in labor. And the koach ein la leida, there is no strength to give birth. In other words, a woman is caught in the impassable position of a frightening labor pains, but there is no end to it. She can't give birth. The koach ein la leida. Ula yishma Hashem Elokecha. Maybe God, your God, will listen. Et divrei Rav Shakeh, the words of Rav Shakeh, Asher Shulacho Melech Asher. That the king of Ashur had sent him, Adonav, his master, Lachare Elokim Chai, to shame a living God, Vauchiyar Vidvarim, and he admonished with words, Asher Shama Hashem Lekechu, God your God heard, the Nasata Tfila Ba'av Hasha'idit HaMinza'ah. So they ask, in the name of Chizkiyahu, they ask Yishayahu, the Nasata Tfila, you should lift your voice in prayer for the remnant that remains. And this is an extremely important thing. We are talking only about a very small remnant of the Jewish people. There most probably was never, and I say this on good authority, it's not just one of my exaggerations. This is the real thing. There most probably was never a period in Jewish history when the fate of Klal Yisrael hung in the balance as it did here. We described last week the 10 tribes had already been sent off into exile. All of Yehuda has already been captured. He came up in the chapter before, it said that he came up against the fortified cities and he captured them. And all that's left now is Yerushalayim, ready, ripe to fall in the hands of some Sancheriv. Then it's the end. So there's only the only remnant of Klal Yisrael is right here in the city of Yerushalayim. Yes. I thought you were asked that. I saw it. She asked, why does it say Hashem Elokecha, God your God?
Why does it say Hashem Elokeinu, God, our God? Hashem Elokecha, exactly. Hashem Elokecha, because he's God's prophet. And he, therefore, is closest to God. And he is the one, therefore, who is the go-between between us and God, and therefore we are calling upon him because of his, I'll use the word, because of his protection. He is, of course, everyone's God. We are asking of you to pray to that God, but you're closer. And you're the one who represents God to us, so you tell him that. By Yehovah the Amelech Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu, the servants of King Chizkiyahu came to Yishayahu. By Yom Raleim Yishayahu, Yishayahu said to them, Ko tomrin al adonechem, so shall you say to your master, Ko amar Hashem, so says God. Al tira. Here we add Chizkiyahu to the list of people to whom God says, Al tira, do not be afraid. In God says it in Sefer Bereishis, he says it to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. Each one is told Al Tira. Each one is told Al Tira. And then it's going to appear, it will be said to Moshe, it's going to be said to Yoshua, and here it's said to Chizkiyo, Al Tira m'tnei hadvarim asher shamata, don't be afraid of the words that you've heard, asher gitfu narei melech ashur oti, that the boys of the king of Ashur have shamed me or blasphemed me. The Yingalech, you understand, the little Rebalech over there, the Yingalech of the king of Ashur. Hinininyo ten boruach, I'm going to bring within him a spirit, a thought. The Shomashmua is going to hear something. The Shogalarzo, he's going to return to his land. The Pontiff Bachedev Barzo, and I'm going to bring him down by the sword in his own land. Now, all of these things are going to happen over a period of time. It's not all going to happen in one single instant. Step one begins in the next passage. By Yoshov Rav Shokei, Rav Shokei in the last chapter had been in the presence of outside Yerushalayim and had blasphemed the city. He returns to his king. Where had he come from? He had come from Lachish, because that's where Sancheriv was waging war. By Yoshov Rav Shokei, by Yimzat Melech Asher Nilcham al Livna, he finds out that the king of Asher is waging war for the city of Livna. Kishama Kinosa mi Lachish, because when he came to Lachish, he heard that Sancheriv had to move quickly and leave Lachish. Why did he have to leave Lachish? So we're told the history. By Yishmael al Tirhoka Melech Kush Lemor, he heard about Tirhoka, the king of Kush, saying, Yotzohi Lachemita, that the king of Kush has come out to wage war with you. By Yishma, so you heard. By Yishlach Malachim El Chizkiyo Lemor. So now Rav Shaki has to send another message back to Chizkiyo, because, you know, Chizkiyo is not going to, it seems that Rav Shaki is not going to be able to return now and carry out the threat. The threat was, I'm going to bring down this city. But what he's asking for is, you don't even have, if I give you 2,000 horses, you remember he said that in the last chapter? If I give you 2,000 horses, you couldn't find 2,000 riders to put on that. You can't defend the city, so surrender the city. Now, he has to come back for an answer, but he can't come back for an answer because they are meanwhile engaged in another battle. So he sends a message. By Yishlach Malachim, he sent messengers El Chizkiyo Lema to Chizkiyo saying, Ko Tomrin El Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda Lemar. I wonder why he now refers to Chizkiyo as king. Is it possible that, well, here he thought that he was already going to bring down Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim seems to have received a breather? No? It's not that simple. Here, as he's ready to bring the city down, he has to flee or run or move quickly to protect his flanks from an attack by Tirhaka Melech, king of Kush. So maybe he's a little more respectful. We always become a little more respectful when we feel a little more vulnerable.
the person who feels that he's the strong and the mighty is the one who can trample others verbally and otherwise without any compunction and feeling of guilt. All of a sudden you develop a degree of respect for somebody when you find out that you're not really almighty, you're not all-powerful, you're a mortal, and you're vulnerable. Then, you know, it's melech is yo. I don't know, this is just the sense that I felt when I came to this pasuk. This is what you should say to Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, so saying, Al yashiacha elohecha asher atobotar bo lemor. Do not be seduced. Don't be convinced by your God, in whom you trust, saying, Lo tinatein Yerushalayim biyad melech Ashur. Don't believe that. There must have been bumper stickers or chariot stickers. The extreme right must have been riding around in Yerushalayim with chariot stickers saying, Lo tinatein ha'ir hazot biyad melech Ashur. This city is not going to be given into the hands of the king of Asher. And he repeats some of the things that he said earlier. You heard Asher also Malchay Asher, that what the kings of Asher have done, lechol ha'aratzot, to all of the nations, all of the lands, la'achavimam, to destroy them. Va'atotin nasel, and you're going to be saved. What are you talking about? We have crushed everybody before our military machine, and you're going to be saved. Ha-hitzilu otam alehei ha-goyim asher hishchitu avotai, as the gods of the nations whom my fathers destroyed, did they save them? Et gozon, vet choron, vet retzef, ugnei eden, asher bitlasor, all names of places in the Middle East, all of those cities fell before the great king, Sanpera. Again, melech amad. Here are names of places that he mentioned earlier. Where is the king of Hamath, Melech Arpad, the king of Arpad, Melech Le'ir Sfarboyim? Ha-Heina V'Iva. Now, the fascinating way enough, on these two words, Heina V'Iva, there are two pshat in the Mepharshim. Some of the Mepharshim say that Heina and Iva are also names of places. Hamath and Arpad, Sfarboyim, Heina V'Iva. The Mitzudas, and the Tzidus says, and that first shot was Rashi. Rashi says, Heina v'iva, hani'ehu v'ivehu, melech asher hechelivam v'tiltalam mimakamam. The word Heina comes from the word Navanad. He moved. You know what he did to all of these places? Heina, he resettled, he moved them. Heina, v'iva, an ivut is a confusion of sorts. He resettled them and he confused them. And I say there are others who say that Heina and Iva are the names of places. Anyway, v'yikach Chizkiyahu asvarim miyacham alachim v'yikra'eyu. Chizkiyahu took the svarim. Obviously, svarim means the letters that he received. He received letters from the king of Asher.
The message was in the letter.
Yeah, the message was in a letter. Right, he sent it with messengers, but the message was in a letter. Vayikra Ehu. I like the word. Vayikra Ehu. Yeah, they read them. But I think that the word Vayikra Ehu is used over here, because with just a slight change, if that aleph would be an ayin, it could sound like he tore them up. In other words, his the way in which he's going to react to the letters. Huh? Well, not anger. I mean, it's the kind of letter that he would like to tear up. Wasn't that the Rav Herzog in 1939, when he tore up the British white paper, and then his son in 76 tore up the Zionism is racism from the podium of the United Nations. Little did his son, who was to become the sixth president of the State of Israel, little did he know
that his own people would later be saying, 20 years later, there's only one people on the face of this earth that says Zionism is racism, and that's us. We have become the only believers in Zionism is racism. Nations, and we succeeded, and we're the ones today. I say we. All present company is excluded. There are groups within Klal Yisrael who say that Zionism is absolutely racism. We committed a terrible crime against another people. All right. Vayikvayaal Beit Hashem, and he went up to the house of God. Vayifreseyu Chizkiyo lifnei Hashem, and he spread out the letter before God. Vayitalel Chizkiyo al Hashem lemor, and Chizkiyo prayed to God, so saying. Here comes a very beautiful, beautiful tefillah of Chizkiyo. Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Yoshev HaKruvim, the one who dwells over the cherubs, that's the Oron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Atahu Elokim Levad Decha, you alone are God, Lechol Mamlechot HaAretz, over all the kingdoms of the earth. Atah Asitat HaShabayim Vet HaAretz, you made heaven and earth. What Chizkiyo is doing is he is following the classic halachic order of prayer. Our Shmoneh Esrei begins with the first three brachot, the first three blessings are those which praise God, and only after praise do you come to petition. We describe God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanor, Hakel Elyon, the great, the mighty God, Mechalkel, Chayim, Bechesed, Somech, Nofim, Rotei Cholin, Hakel, Hakadosh, the Holy God, and only after that do we begin to ask and petition. So in the first passage, he describes, take a look at all these descriptions, Hashem Tzvakot, and remember, I haven't forgotten that we have to explain the real meaning of Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Yoshev HaKruvim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth, you made heaven and earth. Everything is included. The whole great description of the omnipotence and the omniscience of God is here in this passage. Hatei Hashem Oznecha, part of this appears in davening. Hatei Hashem Oznecha, incline your ear, Ushama, and hear. Pekach Hashem Einecha Ure'ei, open up your eyes, God, and see. Ushmat Kol Divrei Samcheret, and hear all of the words of Samcheret, Asher Sholach L'Chareif Elokim Chai, who sent to blaspheme a living God. Omnam Hashem, it is true, indeed, God, it is true. Hecherivu Malchei Ashur Kol Ha'aratzot Ve'et Ha'atzam, the kings of Ashur have destroyed all of the lands. Ve'et Ha'atzam, now, some of the versions say that Artsam means lands around them. Here again, I have this feeling, the great conqueror ultimately destroys not only the lands around him. You know who really destroys? Himself, his own lands. Every great conqueror did it. Hitler destroyed Germany more than he destroyed the... And it would have been that way if not for the United States of America. Not for the Marshall Plan, but decided that they were going to... May Ashtos Yonim Germany. But he destroyed not only the lands around him, he destroyed his own land. Saddam Hussein is doing the same thing, and most probably Gaddafi is doing the same. It's not only their threat to other people, but the suffering of their own people. V'notonet Eloheim Be'esh, and they... In all the countries that they conquered, they placed the deities in fire. Ki lo Elohim heima, because they are not gods. Ki ma'aseh yedei adam, they are only the handiwork of man. Eitz v'aven, wood and stone, v'ya'abdum, and they destroyed them. V'yato Hashem elokeinu, now God our God, hoshi'enu miyado, save us from his hand. V'yedu kol mamlechot ha'aretz, let all the kingdoms of the world know, ki ato Hashem levadecha, that you alone our God. Vayishlach Yishayahu ben Amoz el Chizkiyo lemar, Yishayahu ben Amoz sent to Chizkiyo saying, Koma Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says the God of Israel, Asher Hitpalalta Elai, that which you pray to me, El Samcheret Melech Asher, about Samcheret, the king of Asher, Zeh HaDavar Asher Diber Hashem Alav, this is what God has said about him. Bozo lecha, lom, acharecha rosh heinia, bat Yerushalayim. Beautiful, beautiful pasuk. We laugh at you. The daughter of Tzion Yerushalayim looks at Sancheret as something or somebody to be mocked. You think you frighten us? What are you talking about? Bozo lecha. From Lashon Bizayon. Shame on you. Laga lecha. We laugh at you. Betulat Batzion. Acharecha rosh heinia. Do you know what Yerushalayim has done? And of course the Navi always, in the name of God, always describes something that's going to happen in the future as though it already happened. And therefore he says that Batzion, acharecha, after you, rosh heinia, chuckled her head. In other words, sort of, you know, too bad. The shaking of the head represents, like, you know, you're all lost. The moment is going to come when we will see the shame of Sancheret. Et michei rafto v'gidafto. Who did you curse and blaspheme? Val mi haremoto ko. Against whom did you lift your voice? And I feel for God now. You know, sometimes you have to say it the way it is. Finally, Sancheret is being told. Who do you think you talk to that way? You lifted your eyes to the heights, El Kedosh Yisrael, to the Holy One of Israel. Remember these psukim we had in the Tefillah of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu refers to God as Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts. God himself, when he speaks to Chizkiyahu through Yeshayahu, and he's saying what he's going to tell to Sancheret. God refers to himself as Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. B'yad avadecha, this is God, so to speak, speaking to Sancheret. B'yad avadecha, through the hands of your servants, cheirafto Hashem, you have shamed, blasphemed God, batome, and you said, b'rov rigbi, with my many chariots, ani aliti merom havim, I've come to the very highest of mountains. The highest of mountains is that mountain, Har HaMoria. Har HaMoria. Ani aliti merom havim, yarkitei Lebanon, the very ends of the Lebanon. Lebanon? Lebanon, in its simple meaning, means the place where there are great, doesn't necessarily have to mean Lebanon, but it means any place where there are forests. In Torah, Rashi says a number of places that the Beth Hamikdash is referred to as Lebanon, because it was made from the cedars of Lebanon. The Gemara also says that the Beth Hamikdash is called Lebanon because of the word Lebanon, you have the word Lavan, whitening. God whitens the sins of Israel. If they be red, Yeshayahu says it in the first chapter, in Yadimu Katola, if your sins are going to be red like Tola, Katsemed you, they're going to turn as white as wool. So Lebanon is that which whitens and brightens the neshama of Klal Yisrael, the Beth Hamikdash. And now he's talking of the big talk that comes from Sancheret. Through your servants you had said that with all of my great chariots I've come up to the very heights of top of mountains. The Echrot Komata Vazav Mivchar Beroshav, I'm going to cut down his high cedars, and Mivchar, the chosen Beroshav. Berosh is what?
Cyprus.
Yeah. I never get these names, I also never get straight. I keep writing up the lists of trees and what they are in English. Should do it one of these days, you know. Spruce and oak and cedar, those are all the streets of West Hampstead, you understand? Huh?
Society for Protection of Nature.
I can't hear.
Society for Protection of Nature.
The Society for Protection of Nature. Well, I also have some, what do you call it, note to do me, I have to go over it and the wrong teacher, I'm going to come to the very end of his heights. Ya'ar Carmelo, the forest. Carmel means a place that is fruitful. It is, first of all, a description of Eretz Yisrael, but second and more than that, it is a description of Har HaBayit. there's tremendous, and when we talk about fruitful, we mean what it accomplishes for the Jewish people. And here, this is the hubris, the conceit of some kind of anikarti. I dug the shatiti mayim, and I drank water. I dug wells, and I drank water. V'achriv b'chaf pa'amai kol ye'orei matzor. Ye'orei matzor is many cities had a ye'or, a river, or a moat that was used to protect a city from a siege. Ye'orei matzor. It means that the enemy has to cross a body of water in order to get into the city. So Sancheira says, that never stopped me, because just the footsteps of my mighty army alone, I dried up the chaf pa'amai with my feet. We walked through all these rivers that are supposed to protect cities. You've heard in the distance that which I have done. This is, again, God quoting Sancheira. Mi mekedem biyitzartiha, from the very beginning of days, and I created ata heyitzartiha, and now I brought it to be. In other words, Sancheira also, as we saw in the chapter before, Sancheira sees himself as God's agent. God has given him, whoever God is, has given him the strength to go ahead and destroy nations. So he says, you've heard it from days of old. Now, Rashi learns over here that this is now God speaking to Sancheira. You think that you accomplished all of this because of your great might? So I'm telling you, do you know why you succeeded on the field of battle? Because so I had ordained. That's why Rashi learns, Halo Shamato Levedachok, you heard that which I said a long time ago. Ota Siti, that which I did me make heaven, the Yitzar, from the days of old, the Yitzar Tia, and I formed it. Ata Havei Tia, now I brought it into being. I used you, you are my instrument to bring punishment upon nations. Utehi lahashot galim, it should be that which lahashot really comes from the word shoah. Or the word shoah comes from this, destructive, and galim. Galim means cities that are piles of rock. Gal. Piles of rocks, nitzim, dry, odim b'tsurot, in other words, cities that were fortified have turned into rubble, ruin, and destruction. V'yoshvei and kitzrei yad, and those who live in those mighty fortified cities, their hands are short. They don't. A short hand represents a hand that's incapable of saving itself. Chatu, they were broken. Vavoshu, they were shamed. Hoyu Esed Sodeh. Do you know what these people were? All those nations that you destroyed, they were like the grass of the field, the Ragid Desha, the greenery of the field. Chatsir Gagot. Chatsir Gagot is the grass that grows between the cracks on a roof. We're talking about that which has no strength. You weaken them. Ushedemol, if they come off, Shedemol is like a field before before it's going to be cut. You went ahead and you did all of this. But you know why you did it? Because I ordained it. The shivtach of itseicha uvo acha yadati. I know where you sat, I know where you went out, I know where you came in, I know the etitrageshaila, and that you were angry, and you spoke with anger against me, I know it all. Yan hitrageshailai, because you spoke with anger to me, the sha'anamcha alav last night, and your complacency has come into my ears. I know, Sancheira, I know exactly how you feel. You are so complacent, you are so self-satisfied. You know what I'm going to do with you? V'samti rachi ba'apecha. I'm going to place my hook in your nose. In other words, God describes him like an animal. There are human beings with stuff in their noses, and then there are camels with things in their nose, right? Doesn't the camel have it in his nose, and that's how you're able? The Revelation says, I'm going to lead you like an animal. I'm going to put my... What are they? I'm going to lead you by the nose, right? The santi, very good. Chachi, a chach is a... give me the English word for it.
Hook.
A hook. All right, the hook. I will place my hook in your nose. Umidgi bisvatecha. A meteg is...
bridle.
The bridle that horses through the lips. V'hashivoticha baderech hashebotecha. And I'm going to return you on the same road that you came. I'm going to schlep you by the nose. Exactly. That's what I'm going to do with you. V'zelechot. And now God is turning to Chizkiyahu. This is the sign. Rashi says right over here, yes, Hadibur Hazeh Nolo Sancheret. Rashi says, what's going to be set down is not being set to Sancheret, it's being set to Chizkiyahu. Zelchahot, this is the great sign. The great sign that ultimately Sancheret is going to be utterly destroyed. And the sign is the following. Achol Hashona Sofiach. You're going to get from this pasuk, you will see how horrible and how desperate the situation of the Jewish people was. This year you're going to eat Sofiach. Sofiach means that which grows by itself, grows wild in the fields. They weren't able to go out of Yerushalayim. They couldn't plant, they couldn't plow. We're talking about a people that is on the verge of hunger. What did Rav Shoke say in the last chapter when they said to him, speak to us Aramaic because we hear it and don't speak Hebrew? So he says, oh no, I'm speaking Hebrew because I want those people who are on the walls who are going to have to eat their stool and their urine. They're the ones who I'm talking to. Because we're talking about a climate world that is on the brink, on the verge of absolute famine. So the Rebbeinu, through the Navi, he tells us, till this year, you should know from that which grows by itself in the field, there's going to be enough to feed the Jewish people. Uvashono hashenit, and in the second year, shachim. Shachim means, in other words, if the year before there was seed that fell to the fields and the sofiach came, next year, you know what you're going to have? The sofiach is the sofiach of the sofiach. You're going to have the remnants of the remnants, and it's going to be enough for you. Uvashoma hashlish is ziru, v'kitzru. In the third year, you know what's going to happen? You're going to plant, and you're going to harvest. V'nit uchramim, you're going to plant vineyards, v'ichlu piryam, and eat their fruit. And anybody who wants to ask me why the word is written the way it is, don't. Not now. The Yospa Platas base Yehuda Hamishara Shodesh Lamata Vaosa Bri Lamala. This is so beautiful. The remnants of base Yehuda that remain, do you know what they're going to do? They're going to grow roots below and they're going to make fruit above. It describes a rebirth and a rejuvenation of a Klal Yisrael that is on the brink of absolute total and utter destruction. Ki mi Yerushalayim keitzei shaded. If there's a pasuk you have to learn ba'al peh, this is one of the psukim. Because from Yerushalayim there shall go out a remnant, upleitam mehar tzion, and there will be the refuge will come from Mount Zion. Kinat Hashem tzvakot ta'aseh zot. The vengeance of Hashem Tzvakot is going to do it. So here for the second time in this chapter we have God being described as Hashem Tzvakot. We have him described once as Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Lachain, can I make it? Yeah, we're going to go.
Hey, Abeth. Aser is B'nai Haman. Let's go. Lachin Komar Hashem HaMelech Ashur. So says God for the king of Ashur. Lo Yavo El Ha'ir Hazot. He will not come to the city. V'lo Yodesh Sham Chetz. He is not going to shoot an arrow at the city. V'lo Yekad Menom Again. And he's not going to come toward the city with shields. How did they, as an army approaches a city, they come with their shields out. V'lo Yishpoch Aleha Solala. And he's not going to pour out a battery on it. The Solala is the... Not battery ram. You know what I believe it is? It is what they did, the ramp, the rampa, as they had by, as the Romans made at Matsada. In other words, because solala means something that you paved. You paved the solala. Solu, solu, panu, derech. Solel, boneh. All right. I mean, that's not as beautiful as a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Solu, solu, panu, derech. Misila. A misila, a path. Comes from the word Solala. But there Hashem Baba Yashur on the by the road that he came through her, he's going to return. The El Ha'ir Hazot Lo Yapo, and to this city he will not come. Nu'um Hashem, says God. Veganoti Al Ha'ir Hazot Lahushia. I will protect this city to save her. L'ma'ani, for my sake, Ulaman David Avdi, and for the sake of my servant David. Oh, do we need to say this over and over and over again? Who will protect this city? This city is politically in the grave danger that it was in the days of Sanhedrin. Vayetzeh Malach Hashem, here comes the great pasuk that describes it. Vayetzeh Malach Hashem, an angel of God went out by Yaked Amachane Asher, Asher, and he smote the camp of Asher. Meyo Ushmonin the Chamisha Elef. 185,000 people were killed by Ashkimu Baboket. They got up in the morning. That is, those who got up in the morning. Only the ones who are alive got up in the morning. I mean, maybe that goes without saying, but I want you to... they got up in the morning, V'hine, and behold, Kulam Pegorim Mason, they're all dead carcasses. V'yisa, V'yelech, V'yoshav. You see when you have verbs coming one after another? Verbs coming one after another denote speed, action. He journeyed, he went. By Yosha Samcheret, Melachasha Samcheret, the king of Asher returned. By Yeshev bin Nineveh, and Nineveh was the capital of Asher. By Yehihu Mishpachah Beit Nisroch Elohav, he was bound down one day in the house of his god that was called Nisroch. Va'adar Melech V'sar Etzer Bonov Hikuhu Bacheret. Adramelech and Saretzer, his sons, smote him by the sword. Vehema nimlatu eretz Ararat, they fled to the land of Ararat. By Nimloch, Esar Chadon b'no Takdov, his son Asar Chadon rules in his place. Can you imagine anything worse than that? Being assassinated. This retzach metu'av, this terrible assassination of a king by his own two sons. And ultimately the assassin, of course, is banished for all time. They flee to Ararat. Why did they kill him? Is that what you want to know? Why don't you want to know that? No, I'm not going to tell you yet. What do you want to know, Sarah?
Why is it sending such a powerful...
Which pasuk? Tell me which pasuk you're talking about. Are you all the way back there? I thought you would have forgotten already about it.
Nope, I waited.
You mean you waited the whole time? Why it says Vayisha?
Why
does it say Vayisha?
It's such a powerful message.
Well, I imagine Vayisha means that he's not saying it to him directly. Oh, you're asking, why doesn't he say it to him directly? Why doesn't he say it to him directly? Why does he send it via a shaliach? No, you know, not a bad thing to think about. I have a week now to do that. But Yishtach, why doesn't he come? Wouldn't he want to be the bearer of such good tidings? In person, like you want to say,
A mazel tov. V'ganoti al ha'ir hazot. I am going to protect this city. Lo yodesh shom chetz. He's not going to shoot an arrow to the city. Lo yekadmenu magen. We're talking about something that is awesome. I tell you what. I'm closing now. We have to look at. It's similar, but it reminds me of the master plan of Hitler. Yamach Shemay during the Second World War, his master plan was ultimately to crush Eretz Yisrael. Rommel was the one who was Rommel was coming along North Africa toward Eretz Yisrael. What was Hitler doing in Europe? Operation Barbarossa. He had already invaded Russia. He expected to go through Russia, come down through Iran and Syria, and therefore Rommel and the Wehrmacht were going to meet up at a point. You know where they were going to meet up? In Yerushalayim they were going to meet up. And where does he stop? He stopped at Stalingrad in the north, by El Alamein, Libya in North Africa, right at the gate of Alexandria. And the whole plan, the master plan, you have to see it on a map. It's fascinating. It says, though the Rebbe Shem said, V'kanoti al ha'aretz hazot lo yekadmen o magen v'lo yodesh al chetz. Okay.